الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، I just discussed with the Sheikh the issue of modifying the khutbah so that it may be relevant to you. And I mean by you the non-Arabs, because quite frankly the khutbah is the main audience for the khutbah are probably the local people and those who speak Arabic, and pretty much it all revolves around that, which is irrelevant to those who do not speak Arabic, as you cannot practically benefit from the various courses and the tahfiz and things of this nature. Basically, the subject matter of the khutbah is about the various places designated for having summer courses for Arabic speaking individuals, obviously the locals of this country. And so in reality, you may not find, or we may not find, those who do not speak Arabic may not find any benefit in that. So what we will do is we will change the discussion to that which you can benefit from in this upcoming summer vacation. But before we go into that, the introduction of the Shaykh had to do with the concept of time. Time is a means for one to acquire good deeds. And time is like a sword which has, let's say it has made many people expire, those who did not take proper advantage of time. And you all know that Allah Azza wa Jal swore in the Quran by the passage of time, and He promised that every human being is in loss, right? Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Everyone is immersed in loss, except those who believe and do righteous deeds and enjoin to each other to good and enjoin each other to patience. So swearing by time, as the scholars say, is an indication that this is the element with which you can do iman and righteous deeds, and you can do all the other four exceptions, the four things which make you not among the losers, all necessitate the usage or the proper utilization of time. So time is very important. If Allah intends goodness for a slave of His, He will bless his age or his lifespan, and He will allow him to properly take advantage of time. It is not about how long you live or how short your life is. It is about what you do while you are alive and how do you take advantage and benefit from the time. Many people have misunderstood this concept, and consequently the time became against them. So they either spend their times in the supermarket or at the souk, generally speaking, the bazaar. Others spend their time behind television screens, and others behind monitors, and needless to say, the children behind all of the above, in addition to PlayStation, the Xbox, and all the other nonsense which they spend their lives doing as opposed to benefiting. And the Sheikh said, how often have those who were negligent became regretful? As Allah said in the Quran, until death comes to one of them, then he will say, Rabbi irji'un, my Lord, allow me to go back. Perhaps I will do righteousness in that which I have left behind. Allah said, kalla, nay, no, meaning this is just a wish of yours. It is merely a statement that he will say, and behind them there's a partition, there's a barzakh, until the day they are resurrected. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reinforced this by saying, there are two blessings which many people have misunderstood or have been tricked by two blessings. One is as-sahha, health, being in a healthy condition, wal-faragh, availability of time. People have time on their hands, however they don't realize that they have time. They say, we don't have enough time. But they have a lot of time which is spent in doing things which are no good. Specifically, one of the clearest enemies in the modern days, the television set. And we're assuming that if you do have a television set, if you have a television set, then it only plays Islamic material, some sort of Islamic channel, reliable. Islamic channel. If you have a TV which doesn't play Islamic material, it plays other stuff, then this is basically a bomb in the house, which will soon explode. And the victims will be yourself, your wife, and your children, whom you will be asked about on the Day of Judgment. And one may enter Jahannam, and his wife along with him, and his children, because of a TV set which sits at home, playing all kinds of music, and all kinds of soap operas, you know, whether they are foreign or local. All this is not allowed. And don't believe what the people claim. And don't think this is extreme. It is extreme when people think that the deen is extreme. There's no extremism in Islam. Allah did not create us for a bunch of entertainment. When you watch television, you're bound to see naked women. You're bound to listen to some unlawful material. And you're bound to waste some time. And all of these are not allowed in Islam. Can you control the TV? No, you can't. You have a remote control, but you are the actual one who is being controlled by the TV. Because while you're watching something, any advertisement can pop up, a shampoo advertisement. And all of a sudden, a woman goes in front of you with her hair. Of course, they're not going to choose an ugly woman, otherwise no one will buy the shampoo. So they have to look at the most beautiful woman in the town, whatever the thing is, and they bring her to do this advertisement. Now, when we look at this picture, we are gaining sin. Children are there looking at the father, looking at the picture, so they think it's okay. If he turns around, supposedly, if he turns around, then they will say, why even have this in front of us? Just don't watch anything at all. Otherwise, you're going to spend the whole time watching TV like this. Because you can't stop it. And the Sheikh elaborated on the soccer games, you know, World Cup 2010. Some brothers, may Allah rectify their condition, you know, on their, whenever, you know, people who use, you know, Gmail and Yahoo and, you know, Facebook, these things, there's usually like a state or a status. I mean, what are you thinking of? And people just write WC 2010. I'm like, yes, it's Hammam 2010. But he means World Cup 2010. This is like what's on. This is a Muslim. Practicing Muslim. He's obsessed with a guy named Messi, who's really a mess. You see him now, you know, carrying a chicken, KFC box, right? As if soccer players eat KFC. These people are on a strict diet. They don't be eating no fatty chicken. But this is money. This is fulus. So you find a guy named Messi, a big kafir, and they put أفضل لاعب في العالم, the best player in the world. For what? For what? What is the benefit? For us to, you know, to go to Jannah through Messi? His name resembles his essence. A mess. You know something's a mess? Meaning it's a mess. Messi. Soccer. Brazil. Italy lost. France, I don't know what. All this nonsense being brought to us, and we do not need it. As a Muslim ummah, we don't need no soccer. It doesn't matter whether they are, our countries are involved in the World Cup or they're not involved. You cannot watch soccer. Because you will have to see some thighs. And this is part of the awra which you're not allowed to look at. Even if it's that of a man. And you're about to see some women among the crowd standing and jumping and you know, cheering their team. And you're about to see some people drinking some beer or some beer commercials. You're about to see some haram. Inevitably during the soccer match. Don't ask about people who will abandon Salah, miss the Jama'ah. Some people don't even come to an Islamic lecture because it conflicted with the soccer match between I don't know who and I don't know what. So, what do we do? What do we do with the state of this ummah? Can you imagine the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them? We say that we love the Sahaba, we follow the Sahaba, we like the Sahaba. Can you imagine the Sahaba, all of them grouping together, watching the Persians and the Romans play games with each other? I don't think so. Can you imagine Umar ibn al-Khattab cheering for a kafir? I don't think so. Now these were men. These were men who understood Islam thoroughly. And when they understood it thoroughly, none of this stuff was even worth paying attention to. Except for criticism as it is right now. Only for criticism. Why am I saying this? Because we have been engulfed with this attack, with this World Cup attack. And the Sheikh spoke about this from the member, so don't think I'm bringing this from my mind. We have been engulfed with this attack. We have been preoccupied with something which will not increase our iman, not even 0.001. In fact, it will cause enmity between the Muslims. People of the same household may differ with each other and break the kinship ties because he supports Brazil and he supports Italy. And this one defeated the other one. This is not allowed. وَتَحْسَبُونُهُ هَيِّنَا وَهُوَ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And Allah said in the Quran, and you assume these things to be insignificant, but it is great in the sight of Allah. Breaking the kinship ties, hating a Muslim because he supports another team is a major sin. Hating a Muslim because of two foreign teams, not allowed. Every Monday and Thursday, every Monday, according to the hadith, the deeds are presented to Allah and sins are forgiven, except for two brothers whom there is enmity between them. Allah will say, give them respite, give them some time until they reconcile. Sins will not be forgiven if you and a brother have a problem with each other that you do not try to overcome. Is that, you see what I'm saying? We have to look at things from the correct angle. If you look at it from one angle, this is soccer, akhi. This is games. Big deal, why are you making a big deal? Yeah, that's from one angle. From the other angle, all the Islamic teachings which we have, you will find that these things conflict with every one of the teachings. And we have to make a choice. Do we please Allah and do that which is pleasing to Him, or do we follow our desires? So then, among the things we should be X'd out in these next few weeks and for the rest of our life is soccer. If you love soccer, go play soccer. If you really love it, no one said it's haram. I play soccer, play basketball, any sport for my own good. And you play for your own good, for your physical fitness. No one said soccer is haram to play. We're speaking about you becoming obsessed, a spectator, a fan of a bunch of kuffar. That is a problem. Playing soccer, ma fi mushkila. We should be in shape, we should be healthy, we should to the best of our ability be the strongest Muslims we can be, spiritually, mentally and physically. That, no problem. But to love soccer as in watch people play and spend our times and hours, la wallah. Ya shabab, kayf al-hal? Udir, I'm right here. Assalamu alaikum. I put you on the spot, huh? Now you're famous now. Tayyib. So then my brothers, yani, I hope the point is clear. I'm sure Allah gave all of us understanding of what is being said. The point I hope is clear. This is only fair that this information is conveyed, because we are living in a time where everything is halal. Everything is halal. And once you start speaking about the haram, you know, people start having some sort of conflict within themselves. But the job is to convey the message. Yes, some may be traumatized, but Allah al-Musta'an, if some will benefit, then we look at the benefit versus the harm. The benefit is better than the harm. I know most of you, inshallah, will stop watching these soccer matches beginning today. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Now again, the Shaykh spoke about all these courses which they have for the Arabs, which we cannot really relate to. But I can give you some alternatives. There are da'wah centers. And the da'wah centers have jaliyat. And the Jaliyat are a group of people from the same country. So there's Urdu, there's from the brothers from Sri Lanka, and we have, you know, every group of people have their own Jaliyat, their own Sheikh, their own Da'i. Everyone, there are actually classes and activities and lectures and all kinds of things going on in different languages at the various da'wah centers. So what we need to do is, we need to get involved with what's going on in the da'wah center. Some of them may have some activities, some of them may not. If we find something, then we should make sure that these youngsters here and those who are older are actually are utilizing their summer. Because summer is a very, very dangerous time. No school, no going to school, spending half of the day or even more, then coming home having to do homework, then having to rest, because the school days, they occupy the children and the youth. But when there's no school and there's nothing Islamic to take their time up, then guess what? They will do something else. That's human nature. So it becomes the responsibility of the fathers or those in charge of the youngsters to make sure that they have some sort of summer program for them. A heavy, condensed summer program, which includes extracurricular activities, which includes going to the ocean or to the beach, which includes going on a picnic, going hiking, anything. It doesn't have to be classes. But there must be something provided for them, including sports and all kinds of fun, halal fun, so that the children will be protected and preserved. Otherwise, we will lose them. And everything we have been building the whole year will be lost in the summer vacation. So either you find a dawah center which is providing these services, or you as a community, and this is the advantage of the brotherhood, as a brotherhood, as a single brotherhood, we come together and put something together even if it doesn't exist. But an effort must be made. If everyone depends on everyone else, guess what? You know, in this country nothing will happen. If you wait for fulan, and fulan waits for fulan, and fulan, then fulan on top is supposed to be the judge, you know, the decision maker. He leaves the country to go on vacation, then nothing gets done. So each one has his own part to play. If you are a person involved in education, then you provide your educational services. If you are involved in organizing, then you organize. If you have contacts, people who are in authority, who could give us the platform, then you bring these people into the picture. If you are financially good, or you know people who are willing to support this financially, then you bring them into the picture. Any role, any skill Allah gave you, utilize it for the ummah. Not just for extra money, but utilize it for the ummah. Everyone here has a skill which the other one doesn't have. Trust me. Each one of you has something that he does so well that if all of us came together to do it like him, we can do it. If each one donated this one skill for Allah's sake, or even if he gets some money in return, but the initial intention is for Allah's sake, then we can put something together that you know the kuffar put together for soccer and for all kinds of nonsense. When they want to promote something, manpower, resources, intellect, hours are spent to mislead the people. And Muslims cannot put together a few hours and a few riyals to lead the people to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. And it is our responsibility. Don't think while I'm speaking that you and I are exempt. We are not excluded from this. Each one is responsible to some extent. And we may be asked by Allah on the Day of Judgment, what did you do to these people? What kind of Allah gave you, what did you do in return? And this is why if you read the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, the last ayah of Dain, everybody knows the ayah of Dain. In the Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah of Dain, the one of debt. In the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, he makes a beautiful comment that Allah made it compulsory on the one whom Allah taught how to write. He is obliged to write the contract between two people who are borrowing money from each other. If you know how to write, then it is expected of you, if people say, listen, Akhi, I'm going to borrow 10,000 riyals from him, you are obliged to bring a piece of paper and write for them. فَلْيَكْتُبْ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ Allah said in the Quran, let him write as Allah taught him. The Shaykh said, because of this, because Allah said, as Allah taught you, Allah gave you this skill, you are supposed to utilize it and make the Muslims benefit from it. You can't keep it to yourself. So we're not excluded from this. Each one can and should do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for these youth to be protected. Every day we keep losing more. You look around you and see how many of the shabab are still shabab and have not become kebab, as you say. Not that many. How many are still practicing? Not that many. The average one, you see him, you think he just came from Los Angeles. You know, you see them outside this Kurtaj, whatever, this coffee shop, may Allah destroy it as soon as possible. This one coffee shop where people smoke shisha all day and all kinds of big wicked movies they're playing on the huge screen. You see the shabab at salah time. I'll be walking to the masjid, 5-6 shabab from our shabab, from all countries, sitting there smoking cigarettes, salah time, they don't even go to the masjid. You ask them, what's your name? Muhammad. What's your name? You know, Umar. I asked them, Akhi, I went to the masjid, came back, they're still sitting in the same spot. I said, Akhi, did you pray Asr? He said, I forgot. I said, you forgot? You want to combine between abandoning salah and lying to me? Can someone see the adhan being called in 5-6 masajid around you? Right? You see people walking to the masjid, everything closes, all the shops close. You forgot there was salah? Then he admitted that he didn't forget, he just didn't care. So I spoke to them by Allah's grace, said, Ya Akhi, Allah didn't create you for you to hang out before in front of a coffee shop. At least establish the salah for Allah. So on and so forth. Wallahi, all it took a reminder. The next day, as soon as they see me, as soon as they saw me, they got up and walked with me to the masjid. I didn't even have to speak, I just smiled. It just takes a reminder. Not because I'm special, anyone here could have done the same thing. But sometimes we don't care. Say, Khali wali. Oh, who cares? If I talk to him, he would not listen. No! They need someone, they need guidance. They're being attacked by the media, by the television, by all these things. If we don't hold their hand, they will go away. We need to understand this in reality. Children, their parents don't even know they don't pray. He may have told his father, I'm going to the masjid. But he goes to the coffee shop or to this other video game place next to Danube. This is where their whole life is. Just look at these two places. The coffee shop and this video game shop. Children and youngsters are hanging around this place, wallah, almost 24/7. Fajr time, they're still standing there. Don't go to the masjid. This is in Saudi Arabia. What did you leave for outside? Whose responsibility is it? Our responsibility. If we don't guide them, if we don't give them a platform for them to obey Allah, we will lose them sooner or later. It's our children who will be going astray. So I hope inshallah that this admonishment, this reminder will strike some understanding in us, so that we will not take this matter lightly. This is not a light matter. You're speaking about Jannah and Jahannam at the end of the day. If one of these shabab was to die, if he were to die before we help him out, and he doesn't do salah, he doesn't obey Allah, where do you think he's going to go? To Jannah? He's not going to Jannah. Not with no salah. And he's reached puberty. So this is someone's son. Someone's son. Whom we need to make sure, as a Muslim, that we provide him with his rights. At least nasiha and a place for him to know how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh warned against drugs, against television and satellite channels, and all kinds of wicked information being presented on daily basis, trying to mislead the shabab and keep them away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh kind of encouraged, and we can relate to this in our way, he encouraged spending in these causes. And for the dawrat, that they have in the masajid for the Arabs, then he was encouraging people to spend. In our context, Arabic is not really there yet. Inshallah, everybody's working on learning Arabic. But until such time, what is the alternative which we have? What is the alternative which we have? We need to spend money in this cause more than the money that is spent in the causes which will actually destroy the ummah. Meaning those who want to destroy the ummah, they spend a lot of money to destroy it. If the people who want the ummah to progress and prosper do not spend the same, then we will not be able to match up with them. And we will be defeated. Meaning we have to get involved financially. Some people are richer than others. Allah gave some more wealth than others. Do not withhold. The Shaykh was saying, this is among the best investments. This is among the best sadaqat in this day and time. Because you are giving the Muslims and the youth the means for them to remain protected in the deen and not going astray. This is among the best money you may spend. Even if it's 10 riyals, 5 riyals, 100 riyals, each according to his ability. And those who don't have money, they can give services. They say, okay, I will be, I will watch, I will monitor something. But this is among the best things we can do in the summer. Don't turn the summer into, it's hot. Brother, it's hot. 52 degrees. So we're only, watching the temperature. This is all we complain about. Today is hotter than yesterday. No, the day before yesterday was hotter than today. That's all the discussion. During the whole summer, we're just complaining about the heat. Tayyib, what is that going to do to us? Absolutely nothing. So we need to stop complaining. Summer is around the corner. Most of the children finished exams. Some are on the verge of finishing their exams. Before the summer begins, we should have a solid plan. I'm sure you brothers in the masjid know each other, don't you? Don't you meet with each other on other terms or only in the masjid? Form a committee. Talk to each other after the salah. Say, what can we do? Each one will give his 2 cents. A brainstorming session. Again, the kuffar do this for the sake of the dunya. We need to do this for the sake of Allah. Each one should get involved, inshaAllah ta'ala. Again, I keep emphasizing this because, like I said, the khutbah was totally irrelevant to the audience, the foreign audience. It was very relevant to the brothers who are from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, the locals over here. So in conclusion, this is, by the way, that's all that is there in the paper. There isn't much to say in the paper. In conclusion, let me give you my 2 cents. In the da'wah center, or forget about the da'wah center, I will give you classes that are going on weekly basis, which you may join. There's a aqidah class, which I myself teach. If you don't like me, then you, from now you don't have to show up. Aqidah class every Saturday at the Mushrifa Da'wah Center on Sab'een Street. You know Sab'een? Amir Majid. You go on towards Palestine, there's a bookstore called Tihama Bookstore. Everybody knows it. Upstairs, there's a Da'wah Center. Whenever you don't see me here on Jumu'ah, I'm there on Jumu'ah. Okay? There's a Aqidah class every Saturday between Maghrib and Isha. Everyone is welcome. No fees, no registration, nothing. You come in, you listen, you go home. No one will even speak to you if you don't want to speak to anyone. If you like to keep the brotherly love, then we will have conversations before and after the class. There's a Tafsir class, which will also, inshallah, hopefully maintain, depending on the condition, in the Salama Da'wah Center in Hayy Salama. You know Habitat Hotel? This big hotel on Medina Road? Behind it, there's a Da'wah Center. Salama Da'wah Center, JDC, Jeddah Da'wah Center. Every Friday, like today, 9:30 a.m., there's a Tafsir class. Again, everyone is welcome. We're going over the Tafsir of Sheikh Abdurrahman Nasir al-Sa'di. An excellent, precise, and comprehensive Tafsir. Not too complicated, straight to the point. This is all in English. All in English. The lectures at the International Medical Center. There's a hospital, IMC, maybe you know it, International Medical Center, Markaz al-Tibb al-Dawli, on Ha'il Street, in Hayy al-Ruwais. Twice a month, there are lectures being held in English. Lectures in English about various topics. Some of you are already aware of that through the DVDs. And again, everyone is welcome. Men, women, and children are welcome to attend. This is what I'm personally involved in. There's more, which I may not necessarily know whether they will continue in the summer or not, so I cannot really speak about them. But this is what I'm involved in, which inshallah should maintain and continue throughout the summer. I'm giving you an open invitation. All of you are welcome to join any of these classes. If you want any further information, then you can go to onewaytoparadise.net. onewaytoparadise.net, and there is a flyer with all the locations and the times of the classes, just in case you forgot. And if you have further questions, you can email me at onewaytoparadise@gmail.com, so I can give you further information if you require some. But there's no excuse that we don't get, at least this is the minimum I'm giving you, the minimum. Don't depend on it though, please. I would prefer, for Allah's sake, that you as a people of the same masjid, of the same locality, come together today after this or whenever you think is suitable and discuss what can you do this coming summer for the Shabab. And the elderly would be included, we're not saying that they're not included. But what would be specifically utilized in the time of the Shabab? Perhaps Allah will bless this effort and give you fruits which you could have never imagined only because of making some minor effort. But don't let the shaitan tell you, forget about this, it will never happen. This is the attitude of the shaitan. Oh, talk, it's not going to happen, so you don't get involved, don't listen to the whispers. Get involved, and once you try and you fail, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. But we must try first. Is that a deal? Inshallah, you can do it. So jazakum Allah khairan. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.